fiduciary, Fisher Investments is obligated to act in their client's best interest. Learn more at fisherinvestments.com. Investing in securities involves the risk of loss. This is NPR.
Good morning. I'm Cordelia Brown, Classical Music Time on KPR. And it's live day, so all the music today is live. Let's start off with three great musicians from the area. You might recognize these names between gigs they've had in Topeka, Lawrence, and Kansas City. French horn player Steve Lewis, Iman Chalchitori, cello, and John Livingston, piano. They are three members of the Midwest Chamber Ensemble, one of the finest chamber music ensembles in Kansas City. Let's hear them play Beethoven chamber music from the trio, Opus 11, now here in the KPR Live studio.
Thank you. Thank you.
was a fine performance of what's sometimes called the Gassenhauer Trio, which roughly translates to a tune you might hum walking down the street, kind of like an earworm or something when you hear something and it's stuck in your mind. Some great melodies in there in that Opus 11 Trio by Beethoven on Live Day today, where support for classical music comes from the Kansas City Zoo and Aquarium, open year-round, featuring nearly 10,000 animals. Admission supports the zoo's conservation fund, preserving wildlife at home and around the world. More at kansascityzoo.org. Well, today all the classical music is coming to you live from the KPR Live Performance Studio. And when you support KPR at kansaspublicradio.org, you're supporting the live music that we do and to help support the musicians who have come in. That was a live performance. That was not a recording. We've heard three area musicians, French horn player Steve Lewis, cellist Iman Calciatore, and John Livingston at the piano. They are three members of the Midwest Chamber Ensemble, which is going to give a concert this Sunday afternoon, I think. Steve, can you tell us more about that? Steve
Lewis.
That's
correct. Thank you for having us on, Cordelia. We will be giving a concert of this music for French horn, cello, and piano this Sunday at 4 o'clock in Prairie Village. We'll play these pieces and some other things, so we hope you can come out and join us.
Great. What else is cooking with the Midwest Chamber Ensemble?
Well, A lot of new things going on. I was the original founding music director, and now Catherine Hilger has taken the helm, and she's doing a great job with it. It's great. I get to sit back and take it easy while she's doing all the work and all the planning. So after this concert, we have actually my woodwind quintet is playing Beaufort Winds, and we'll be playing a transcription of Dvorak's Opus 51 string quartet. That's in November. So that's another exciting concert we're looking forward to.
The Beaufort Winds. Yeah, like the Beaufort Wind scale.
Yes, exactly right. That is the connection. Yes.
Well, the piece we just heard, I've heard that with piano, cello, and violin, clarinet, bassoon, but you did it on the French horn. How did you do that?
Well, one would think that there's a lot of music for cello and French horn, but actually there's not that much at all. So I really enjoy working with Iman and John. We've all been friends for a very long time, and I wanted to put together a concert that included all of us, and well, it was necessary to do some arranging, so I enjoy arranging, and it was required for this. So, you know, the hardest part of doing a transcription is finding the right piece to start with. So that took a lot of time, and finally I settled on this, and I think it works pretty well.
It sounded good. It sounded like a horn trio to me. I guess Beethoven actually called it a piano trio, but even though it was early Beethoven, it really sounded equal parts, equal voices for everyone.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that really makes it fun to play.
Mm-hmm. So, talking with Steve Lewis of the Midwest Chamber Ensemble. Now, before you go back and play for us again, tell us about the piece we're about to hear by Andrew LeWinter.
Sure. This next piece by Andrew LeWinter is a brand new piece. The premiere is this Sunday. Of course, I actually guess right now is the premiere, the first public hearing of it. Andy is a friend of mine, horn player, former horn player. He had a brilliant career in his youth as a horn player, and then as time went on, he turned more and more toward composition. I was having a chat with him one day, and I said, "Wow, it'd be really great if there was more repertoire for cello, horn, and piano." He said, "I'll write you a piece." And, you know, it was kind of sort of a casual conversation. But a few months later, he sent me an email with this piece. He said, "Here you go." So here we are.
What a dream.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is a radio premiere. That's pretty exciting. All right, well, Steve Lewis is getting resettled with Iman Calciatore, Jonathan Livingston at the piano. Three members of the Midwest Chamber Ensemble who are starting off Live Day for us here on Kansas Public Radio. And remember, when you support, you can make a one-time donation, kind of like a KPR tip jar for Live Day. Just go to our website, kansaspublicradio.org. And also, support comes from, for Classical Music Today on KPR, Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Kansas, committed to a healthier future for all Kansans with health care coverage for businesses and their employees. Learn more at bcbsks.com/business. Let's hear now the three members of the Midwest Chamber Ensemble, Steve Lewis, Iman Chalchitori, and John Livingston, in this brand new piece, The Trio, for Horn, Cello, and Piano, live on Kansas Public Radio. It's written by Andrew LeWinter.
Thank you. Thank you.
That was fantastic. That is a brand new piece. It's radio premiere on Kansas Public Radio, live, though it's not a recording, of a new trio, a new horn trio, scored for French horn, cello, and piano by Andrew LeWinter, a contemporary composer, and played for us on Kansas Public Radio, played for you by three members of the Midwest Chamber Ensemble. horn player Steve Lewis, cellist Iman Chalchitori, and pianist John Livingston. Three fantastic area musicians who took time out of their busy schedule to come in on an early morning and and kick off Live Day. So thank you so much to them for coming in, and thanks to our engineers. Chuck Smith engineered this broadcast, and also thanks to Jason Sloat and Jeff Watson, and especially to Emily DeMarchi. I'm Cordelia Brown, and support for classical music on Kansas Public Radio comes mostly from you, but also from the University of Kansas, transforming students and society through academics, discovery, service, and spirit. Information about the possibilities of a KU education is online at ku.edu.
There'll be more from Live Day from the Lawrence Public Library in the next hour. News from NPR coming up at the top of the hour. We'll listen to, for just a few moments until then, music of Beethoven, Jack Weinrock, in our live performance studio back in 2015, playing Beethoven next on Kansas Public Radio. There at the keyboard, Jack Weinrock on piano, playing movement number one from Beethoven's Moonlight Piano Sonata from our KPR live performance studio all the way back in 2015 here on KPR, where it is just about 10 a.m. And coming up next, news from NPR. Live Day continues with performances from the Lawrence Public Library. Hope you can stay with us for more wonderful classical music throughout the morning. And don't forget that later on tonight, Destiny has a free classical concert for you from the Lawrence Public Library. That's at 7 p.m. You're listening to KPR.
Hello, friends. It's your evening classical host, Destiny, here at KPR. Did you know I also play the violin? Yes, I do, as part of Live Day on Friday, October 25th, 7 p.m., come see yours truly playing some spooky, spooky music with her friends at the Lawrence Public Library. It's free, October 25th, 7 p.m. I would love to meet all of you. Hope to see you there.
We're live. We're local. We are Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas. We are KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, FM 91.5. KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, FM 89.7. KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City, FM 91.3. KANQ Chanute, FM 90.3. Listen on the web anytime at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speakers to play Kansas Public Radio. News from NPR in just a moment. Music continues in the next hour. It is 53 degrees here at the KU campus. We have sunny skies expected today with a high of 67. Tonight mostly clear with chilly temperatures, lows in the mid-30s. Tomorrow sunny with a high of 65. You're listening to Kansas Public Radio.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Corva Coleman. Israeli strikes on a hospital in northern Gaza yesterday have left the facility almost non-functional, according to the hospital's director. The Israeli military says it was moving around the hospital based on intelligence. Militants were also in the area. As NPR's Hadil Al-Shalchi reports, this comes as the Israeli military intensifies its incursion in northern Gaza, where it says it is battling Hamas.
In a TV interview with Al Jazeera from inside the Kamal Adwan Hospital during the attack in North Gaza, Director Dr. Hassan Abu Safiyeh said that the hospital was suddenly besieged by Israeli tanks on Thursday and everyone was ordered to evacuate. With the sound of shooting behind him, Abu Safiyeh said that the two upper floors of the hospital were attacked and troops shot at the windows. Abu Safiyeh said around 160 injured Palestinians needed medical attention and at least 14 children lay in the intensive care unit. Kamal Adwan is one of the three hospitals in the north left largely inaccessible because of the fighting. Hadil Al-Shalchi, NPR News, Tel Aviv.
Vice President Kamala Harris and former President Donald Trump are campaigning in Texas today. Both will also be guests on different podcasts. President Biden is visiting the Gila River Indian community in Arizona today. He is expected to formally apologize for the federal government's role in the mistreatment of Native American children in boarding schools. NPR's Ximena Bustillo reports.
Between 1819 and 1969, the federal government operated more than 400 boarding schools across the country. The goal was complete assimilation. It is estimated that almost 1,000 students died, possibly more, and many more suffered physical abuse, neglect, and stripping of their languages and culture. This would be the first public apology issued by a U.S. president. The visit to Gila River also comes less than 2 weeks before Election Day. Native voting advocates say tribal voters in Arizona could make a difference in this year's results. Ximena Bustillo, NPR News, Washington.
Three white Georgia men serving life sentences for killing black jogger Ahmaud Arbery in 2020 are now seeking a new trial. From member station WABE, Julian Virgin has more.
Attorneys for Greg McMichael, his son Travis McMichael, and their neighbor, William Roddy Bryan, presented arguments to Superior Court Judge Timothy Walmsley that one of the trial jurors, quote, concealed his bias in favor of the Arbery family. Walmsley, who presided over the 2021 trial and handed down their sentences, said he would allow the juror to testify with limitations. Roddy Bryan's attorney also argued his client's trial attorney shouldn't have let him be interviewed twice by the Georgia Bureau of Investigation. The three white men chased down the 25-year-old black man after they saw him running. Brian captured video of the younger McMichael shooting Aubrey at close range, killing him. For NPR News, I'm Julian Virgin in Atlanta.
On Wall Street, the Dow is up 120 points. This is NPR.
Support for NPR comes from Arm, committed to delivering innovative advanced computing designed to enable worldwide companies to unleash the capabilities and experiences of AI. The future of AI is built on Arm. Arm.com. We're live. We're local. We are Kansas Public Radio.
Good morning and welcome to KPR's Live Day. I'm Kay McIntyre. We are live at the Lawrence Public Library in downtown Lawrence and glad to have you with us today, whether you're here in person at the library or listening in on your radio or on the smart speaker. This hour, we're pleased to bring you the Washburn University Faculty Wind Quintet with Rebecca Metter on flute, Emily Foltz, oboe, Larkin Sanders, clarinet, Austin Way, bassoon, Andrea Stanton on horn, and in just a minute we'll be joined by soloist Dr. Zach Pichnade. They'll start with three short pieces by French composer Jacques Ibert.
Thank you.
That was three short pieces by Jacques Ibert, performed by the Washburn University Faculty Wind Quintet, with Rebecca Metter on flute, Emily Foltz on oboe, Dr. Larkin Sanders on clarinet, Austin Way bassoon, and Andrea Stanton on horn. What a lovely way to kick off the Lawrence Public Library's version of Live Day. Thank you all so much for joining us today, whether you're here in person or on the radio. We're so glad to have you here for a whole day of live music here on KPR. A reminder that we will be here in the 10 o'clock hour, back at noon, again at 2 o'clock, and then we'll have a live concert tonight here at the Lawrence Public Library with our own Destiny and Mermaiden. Halloween costumes are encouraged, so please come back for that. We're going to take a minute and talk to Dr. Larkin Sanders. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
Tell us about the piece we heard. It was just lovely interplay between the instruments.
Yeah, absolutely. So Jacques Ibert's Quintet for Winds is just one of the many wonderful pieces that Jacques Ibert wrote for winds. He's really famous for his saxophone concerto and really great band repertoire. This music is really fun to play. It shows off both the virtuosity of the instruments and the lyricism that the instruments are also capable of.
How does this fit into his repertoire more broadly?
That's a good question. I would say very well. Sorry, making jokes too early in the morning. But I think, honestly, it's a really nice way to showcase all these instruments. And there's also a nice trio for, I think, oboe, clarinet, and bassoon as well. So I would just say it's a nice addition to the whole repertoire.
Okay. The next piece we'll hear is a solo piece, an original composition for solo clarinet, written and performed by you, Dr. Larkin Sanders.
Yes.
Perfect for the season. We're about to hear The Witch.
The Witch.
Tell me about the inspiration behind this piece.
The Witch is a single movement from a larger work called Seven Women, and it's about the seven archetypes of women from Jungian type theory. And the witch is one of the seven. I thought it would be the most appropriate of the seven movements to perform on a day such as this, so close to Halloween. As you can see, or those of you who can see me, know that I'm holding an E-flat clarinet. It's a little bit smaller than the instrument I was just playing on, often referred to as the piccolo clarinet. Still as low as a violin. It's not quite the same as a piccolo flute that plays much higher. But we refer to the piccolo nonetheless. And there is a little bit of a symphonic quote for any symphony buffs out there that you will immediately recognize as another witchy source of inspiration. Let's get started.
Okay. Without further ado, The Witch from Seven Women by Dr. Larkin Sanders, part of KPR's Live Day here at Lawrence Public Library. That's The Witch, part of Seven Women by Dr. Larkin Sanders. We're performing live at Lawrence Public Library as part of KPR's Live Day here with the Washburn University Faculty Wind Quintet. And we'll hear from the rest of the group in just a minute. But before we do, another solo piece. Dr. Zach Pishnati is going to be playing on alto saxophone. I'll have you introduce the piece and take us back to 1944.
Yeah, so this piece was written by Eugene Botza, and it was released in 1944, and that actually happens to be the same year that this horn was made. This is a Selmer French saxophone from that same year. So, these pieces are often, the first one I'm playing is sometimes referred to as improvisation, because it's part of a two-part work that was taken from this book of etudes, and so the second part is called Caprice, but I'm actually playing a different one that is from earlier on in the book. So,
anything special we should be listening for in this piece?
I guess the first one, definitely in the second movement, you'll hear a lot of motivic unity, I suppose. It'll be very obvious. So you won't have to listen hard.
Okay. All right. Without further ado, 2 of the 12 Etudes Caprices by Eugene Botza.
Thank you.
That was two of the 12 Etudes Caprices by Eugène Beaussat, played by Dr. Zach Pishnati. Thank you so much. Part of KPR's live day here at the Lawrence Public Library. We hope you'll join us the rest of the day here at the library. We've got live performances coming up at noon and 2 o'clock. And if you're listening on the radio, we'll have coming up at 11 o'clock this morning, the St. Petersburg String Quartet that will be coming live from the KPR Live Performance Studio. And a reminder that 7 o'clock tonight, we'll be back here at the Lawrence Public Library. Our own Destiny Ann Mermagan will be back for a spooky Halloween costume, family-friendly. Halloween costumes are encouraged. KPR's Live Day is made possible by contributions by the Jim Seaver Classical Music Fund, supported by the generous gifts of Don Marquis and our community of KPR listener members. If you're not already a KPR listener member, learn how to contribute to local classical music performed live at kansaspublicradio.org. For our final piece here at the Lawrence Public Library this morning, we're joined by Dr. Rebecca Metter, and Dr. Larkin Sanders is back at the microphone. We're going to hear something coming up from Paul Hindemith. Tell us what we're about to hear.
Well, I think you're going to really enjoy this selection. It's something that the ensemble really wanted to perform this year, and it is five movements, and the last two, though, are attacca, so they're attached, and my impressions of this particular selection that I'd like you to listen for is that the first movement really has a lot of great interaction, especially between the clarinet and then a lyrical section with the oboe, a little bit back and forth. And then we have this really charming second movement that is a waltz, sort of whimsical, okay? And then the third movement is sort of like a slow march and really some very interesting rhythms. And then the fourth movement is almost like an introduction to the fifth movement, and it has some repetition to where it's almost introducing, in my opinion, the instruments before they play as far as the last movement.
It kind of reminds me of an opera intermezzo or recitative in a way.
True. Very, very true. But I think you're really going to enjoy it. And I hope that you can see that we have some really amazing Washburn faculty members, and we really enjoy working with each other. We have a lot of fun, and it's always really interesting to see what people bring to the table as far as what they would like to play and just some of their interests. And it's always great to celebrate that and to explore all the amazing options we have for these various ensembles.
You've got some pretty exciting things happening at Washburn University beyond the quintet. Tell us what's coming up at Washburn University in terms of music.
Very good. Thank you very much for that opportunity. We actually have two events next week that I wanted to make sure to share with everyone. So next Wednesday, the Washburn University Orchestra is presenting their Halloween concert in White Concert Hall, and that is free to the public. It's at 7:30 in the evening. But I should tell you that there is an opportunity for any might be interested in seeing some of the instruments a little more close up. They can, of course, attend at 7 o'clock, where the members, our student chapter of the National Association for Music Educators, they will have those instruments there for students to look at. And so that's on Wednesday. And then, and of course, children are welcome to wear their costumes. They're encouraged to wear their costumes to that event. That would be amazing.
What about adults? Can we wear our costumes?
Adults can also wear their costumes, Larkin.
Thank okay. you. I'll be there.
Okay. Excellent. So on Thursday, because, of course, we are a Department of Music and Theater, I wanted to make sure to tell you that we have the opening night of Carrie the Musical in the Nice Gray Theater, also at 7:30. So that's a Thursday. And if you have questions about those events, you are welcome to email music.theater@washburn.edu. And I'm sure we'd be happy to help you with any questions that you might have.
Now, I've been to Washburn University a number of times to the White Concert Hall, which, of course, is the home to the Sunflower Music Festival, which we love being part of every year. But there's about to be another venue at Washburn University. Tell us about that.
That is correct. We are so fortunate because we have a new recital hall that is being built currently and should be open to us, you know, maybe approximately, I'm not totally sure, but approximately April, May, June of this next year. Matter of fact, we just had a signing to where we were able to go in and sign the wall before they continued with their construction, and that was really exciting. And so this is going to be Heard Recital Hall, and it is a lovely, lovely venue or performance area, and it's going to have state-of-the-art recording, and it doesn't have fixed seating, so therefore it opens up the possibilities of what kind of events can be held there. And so we're really looking forward to seeing, you know, what might be able to happen with like a chamber opera or chamber music or maybe some kind of alumni event. But, you know, it just depends on what we dream up for that particular space.
One last question before I let you get back to the music. You all teach at Washburn University and have your own individual lessons and students. What is it like for you to come together as faculty and actually get to play?
It's the best, most importantly. So I've been here for 6 years at Washburn, and Rebecca's been here a little bit longer, and everyone just kind of comes in seamlessly and really fits in well to the group. We have a really good time playing with each other. Honestly, it's a really excellent privilege that we have as faculty members to have this kind of time and resource to play together, to work on our art, and to go out into the community and provide musical experiences.
Well, we're so glad to have you here for KPR's Live Day. Come on back, take a seat, and I understand they're going to take just a second or two to retune. While they're doing that, I'll remind you that we are at Live Day at the Lawrence Public Library. We will be going back to the KPR studios for the St. Petersburg String Quartet at 11 o'clock this morning, and then come back to noon here at the Lawrence Public Library when we'll hear some Paraguayan folk music from Joe Pará. Again, live music coming up at noon and 2 o'clock here at the Lawrence Public Library. We'll have live music on the radio from the KPR Live Performance Studio at 11 o'clock with the St. Petersburg String Quartet. And then come back to the Lawrence Public Library tonight for our Live Day broadcast with a special free Halloween concert with violinist Destiny Ann Mermagan and friends. And like the Halloween concert at Washburn University, costumes are encouraged. Again, that's 7 o'clock tonight here at the Lawrence Public Library Auditorium. Now back to the Washburn University String Quintet and Paul Hindemith.
Thank you.
You've just heard Kleine Kammer Music, Opus 24, number 2 by Paul Hindemith, performed by the Washburn University Faculty Wind Quartet, part of KPR's Live Day coming from the Lawrence Public Library. A big thank you to the quintet for joining us today and kicking off this portion of our Live Day. Thanks to Rebecca Metter on flute, Emily Foltz, oboe, Larkin Sanders, clarinet, Austin Way, bassoon, Andrea Stanton on horn, and guest performer on saxophone, Zach Piccinati. A big thank you to the Lawrence Public Library for hosting us here today at Live Day. A reminder that we'll be back at noon for some Paraguayan music from the group Joe Pará. Make sure to join us for that. We'll also be back here at 2 o'clock this afternoon for the Ad Astra Duo. Meanwhile, in the 11 o'clock hour, it's the St. Petersburg String Quartet coming to us from KPR's live performer. A reminder that KPR's Live Day is made possible by the Dr. Jim Seaver Classical Music Fund, dedicated in memory of Dr. Jim Seaver, the longtime host of Opera is My Hobby. This fund contributes to KPR classical music performances and ensures local music is made possible and accessible to those in our listening community. You can help secure classical music as a cornerstone of KPR's programming by becoming a contributing member to the Jim Seaver Classical Music Fund. Make a gift of support at kansaspublicradio.org. Again, a big thank you to the Washburn University Faculty Wind Quintet. A thank you also to all the people behind the scenes that are making today possible. A big thanks to our engineer Jason Sloat, Jeff Watson back at the KPR studios, Emily DeMarchi, Amber Nickel, and Daryl Brogdon. Again, a big thank you to all of you for joining us. I hope you'll be back here at noon at the Lawrence Public Library. KPR's Live Day is made possible by you and your support. KPR's Live Day is here on Kansas Public Radio.
Support for Live Day on KPR comes from the Midwest Trust Center, presenting Mariachi Orencia de Mexico tomorrow evening. A new generation of mariachi takes the stage for a night of Mexican music. More at jccc.edu/mtc. We're live. We're local. We are Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 Lawrence, 89.7 Emporia. Always online for you at kansaspublicradio.org. As Kay mentioned, we will have the St. Petersburg String Quartet. They're warming up right now in the KPR Live Performance Studio, and they'll join us in the next hour with music by Bach and Ravel, all performed live on Live Day here on Kansas Public Radio. Of course, news from NPR is at 11 o'clock, and taking us to news time, we'll dig into the KPR live performance archives and bring you this recording of the Maceo Trio, recording back in the year 2013 with movement number 1 from Cello Sonata number 1 by Brahms on Kansas Public Radio.
Thank you.
from the archives of the KPR Live Performance Studio, the Maceo Trio, and the first movement to Cello Sonata No. 1 by Brahms. That was recorded in 2013. More from the KPR Live Performance Studio awaits us in the next hour with the St. Petersburg String Quartet.
Inflation has taken center stage this presidential election season. Both candidates promise to improve the economy for Americans, but are voters buying it?
I just know how it was when he was in office. Financially, I was much better.
I'm Elsa Chang, checking in with Pennsylvania voters and their pocketbooks on All Things Considered from NPR News.
Join us for All Things Considered later today from 3 to 7 p.m. at your place to find NPR News. We're live. We're local. We are Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas, KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, FM 91.5. KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, FM 89.7. KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City, FM 91.3. KANQ Chanute, FM 90.3, and always online for you at kansaspublicradio.org. In just a moment, news from NPR. When your old boat starts to feel like an anchor around your wallet, KPR's vehicle donation program is here for you. We'll take any donated vehicle and use it to fund the programs you enjoy every day. Donate your boat, car, or motorcycle at that website, kansaspublicradio.org. 56 degrees here at the KU campus. On our way to a high today of 68, sunny skies, tonight lows in the mid-30s. This is KPR.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Windsor Johnston. The presidential candidates are ramping up their campaign messaging in the final stretch to the November election. Vice President Kamala Harris and former President Donald Trump will both rally supporters in Texas today. NPR's David Shivaram reports it's an unusual campaign stop for the candidates to make so close to the election.
Trump will be in Austin to record a podcast episode with Joe Rogan before heading to Michigan for a rally. Harris, meanwhile, will rally in Houston with Senate candidate Colin Allred. Texas hasn't had a Democratic senator in 30 years, but Colin Allred's race this year against incumbent Senator Ted Cruz is tight, in part because of the focus on reproductive rights. Harris's visit to Houston will highlight the issue as her campaign tries to keep it top of mind for voters in the last stretch of the election. Her rally will also have a special guest, Beyonce, whose song Freedom Harris has been using as her walkout song. Deepa Shivaram, NPR News, Houston.
A number of former Trump aides are warning how the former president might use the U.S. military if he's reelected. That includes Mark Esper, who served as defense secretary during the last year of Trump's presidency. Esper spoke to NPR's Morning Edition today about Trump's recent rhetoric, especially when it comes to using the military to deport migrants living in the U.S. illegally.
I don't believe that the active duty military can be used to round up illegal persons in the country and deport them, if you will. I think it violates the Posse Comitatus Act, which basically restricts the U.S. military, the active duty military, from performing policing actions within the United States. And so there are some exceptions here and there, but they're very specific. So I don't believe that authority exists. But I'm not a lawyer, and I think it's something that needs to be looked at.
Trump fired Esper in November of 2020. Three journalists were killed by Israeli airstrikes in southeast Lebanon overnight. The guest house where they were staying came under attack at dawn and without warning. NPR's Arzu Rezvani reports more than 120 members of the press have been killed since the war broke out.
The three TV news employees worked for broadcasters Al-Manar, which is a network owned and operated by Hezbollah, and Al-Mayadeen, a pro-Palestinian and pro-Iran news channel. They and other journalists from networks including Sky News Arabia were staying in the town of Hasbaya in southern Lebanon, which until now was widely considered to be safe and hadn't been attacked before. The cars parked outside the guest house were clearly marked press. Lebanon's information minister said the attack was deliberate and called the deaths a, quote, war crime. The Israeli military has not commented on what prompted the airstrike. Arzu Rezvani, NPR News, Beirut.
This is NPR News in Washington.
Support for NPR comes from Arm with the new podcast series, Tech Unheard. Arm CEO Renee Haas talks to tech company leaders like Jensen Huang and NVIDIA, who are working to help shape the future of computing. available on all podcast platforms. We're live, we're local, we are Kansas Public Radio.
And we're in the KPR Live Performance Studio with the St. Petersburg String Quartet. All the music today is live. We're either broadcasting from here at the station or from downtown at the Lawrence Public Library. We are thrilled to have the St. Petersburg String Quartet here. They've been together for 40 years. We'll talk more about them in just a minute. But first, let's hear them play live. This is not a recording. This is live music. We'll hear. This is a transcription of Bach's Chaconne, written for solo violin, but here it is, played by the St. Petersburg String Quartet.
Thank you. Thank you.
Bach Chaconne, in a way you've never heard it, arranged for string quartet by the violist of the St. Petersburg String Quartet. And we've just heard the St. Petersburg String Quartet. They've been all over the world and together for 40 years, and we're so pleased to have them here on KPR's Live Day. We're playing live from the KPR Performance Studio. And coming up at noon, there'll be Joe Parra with Paraguayan folk and classical music. Lucy Tan will play piano and Ad Astra will play. And Destiny Ann Mermegan will give a violin concert at 7 p.m. to which you're invited. Just go to the Lawrence Public Library at 7. Boris Vayner, violist. Tell us about, it was like hearing the Bach Chaconne for the first time. What inspired you to arrange it for string quartet?
Well, the Chaconne itself is such a powerful piece of music. It's cherished by all the violinists, but it's also always attracted other musicians who play other instruments. So there are many, many transcriptions for different instruments, including viola, piano, and so on and so forth. So I just had in mind, had envisioned kind of that it could be performed by a string quartet, but not merely just repeating what Bach wrote, but kind of making it fuller to fit in the string quartet. I decided that if I use a lot of polyphonic tools like imitations, just different just juxtaposing different motifs, that would allow the string quartet to sort of flourish on this piece of music. And plus I wanted also to show the capabilities beyond what Bach wrote, technical capabilities of string instruments, that allowed me to include some technique like pizzicatos, harmonics, subpanticella, and I arranged it in 2010, and we've performed since it since then.
Yes, it sounded very rich. So tell us about the St. Petersburg String Quartet, and you have a concert coming up in January at the Shawnee Presbyterian Church?
Yeah. Well, as you've mentioned, St. Petersburg String Quartet was founded almost 40 years ago. In fact, next year will be the 40th anniversary. And so our original founding member, Alla Aronofskaya, was back then a student at the St. Petersburg Conservatory. So in the beginning, it was actually called a Leningrad Conservatory Student Quartet. And they started to play together. They went on to win like 5 international competitions, and that's how they started to get concerts, recordings, and about 1997, the quartet moved to the United States. It was invited to become a quartet in residence at the Oberlin Conservatory. And that allowed the quartet to play more concerts in the United States, but also around the world.
And wasn't St. Petersburg at Wichita for a while?
Yes. We were as a quartet in residence from 2010 to 2015.
Great. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, Boris Fainer. Thanks for chatting with us. And the next piece we'll hear is the Maurice Ravel String Quartet. So the St. Petersburg String Quartet here is part of Live Day, support for which comes from the University of Kansas, transforming students and society through academics, discovery, service, and spirit. Information about the possibilities of a KU education is online at ku.edu. And from the Topeka Zoo, presenting Zoo Lights and the chance to host a private party or special event in a secluded igloo at the zoo. Details and reservations at topekazoo.org. And before we hear a live performance of the Ravel String Quartet, remember that we can't do all this for free. So your support at kansaspublicradio.org is, you know, it's kind of like a tip jar for the musicians to help us do this, because not many stations do this, to have groups come in, and we're always happy to have local groups and promote their upcoming concerts and find out what they're doing. And stay tuned for Joe Parra at noon from the Lawrence Public Library and Destiny playing at 7 p.m. The concerts you can attend at the library are at noon, 2 o'clock, and 7 o'clock, so do drop in. So, next on KPR, a live performance, it's not a recording. The four musicians of the St. Petersburg are Alla Aronofskaya, Ned Kellenberger, Boris Fainer, and Sasha Groshang. Here they are playing the Maurice Ravel String Quartet live on KPR. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Bringing Maurice Ravel's string quartet to life. That was the St. Petersburg String Quartet, a fantastic version of Ravel's string quartet here in the KPR studios as part of Live Day. The St. Petersburg String Quartet has made some incredible Russian string quartets also come to life. They have a long history of recording and performing. You can find out all about them at stpetersburgquartet.com. That's stpetersburgquartet.com. The first violinist is Alla Aronofskaya. Second violinist, Ned Kellenberger. Violist, Boris Vayner. And Sasha Groshang, cellist, making up the St. Petersburg String Quartet. Stay tuned. Coming up in the noon hour, and you can go if you want, if you're downtown, go to the Lawrence Public Library and sit in the radio audience. Joe Pará. There are four Paraguayan musicians with advanced classical degrees who live in Kansas now. We'll hear their music. At 1 o'clock, Lucy Tan plays piano here. And at 2 o'clock, Ed Astra plays at the library. And tonight, topping off Live Day here at Kansas Public Radio, is Destiny Ann Mermagan with a concert you're also welcome to go to at the library. I'm Cordelia Brown in the live performance studio. Thanks so much to staffers Max Paley, Joanna Fewens, Emily DeMarchi, Jeff Watson, and especially to our engineer, Chuck Smith. I'm Cordelia Brown, and this is part of Live Day here on Kansas Public Kansas Public Radio.
Thanks so much, Cordelia, and thanks to the St. Petersburg String Quartet. As Cordelia mentioned, we'll be with Joe Pará in the next hour at the Lawrence Public Library as part of Live Day here on a Friday afternoon. We're live, we're local, we are Kansas Public Radio. In just a few minutes, news from NPR between now and then. Let's dial the clock back to the year 2013 from the archives of the KPR Music Library. Here are the Bach Aria Soloists with a tango by Astor Piazzolla on KPR. Thank you. from the archives of the KPR Live Performance Studio, a tango by Astor Piazzolla, played by the Bach Aria Soloists back in the year of 2013. We're just about ready for news from NPR, and in the next hour, we'll be at the Lawrence Public Library again for the ensemble J'Opéra as part of Live Day on a Friday afternoon. We're live, we're local, we are Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas, KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City, KANQ Chanute. Listen online at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speakers to play Kansas Public Radio. Support for news on KPR comes from Eagles Rest Natural Home, located in downtown Lawrence, specializing in American-made transitional and contemporary furniture lines, customizable to fit individual styles. Online at EaglesRestNaturalHome.com. And the University of Kansas Libraries, Kansas's largest library with more than 5.8 million items across multiple campus locations. Information on community resources and upcoming events is at lib.ku.edu.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Windsor Johnston. Both presidential candidates are taking their campaigns to Texas today as they race to reinforce their messaging to voters. Houston Public Media's Andrew Schneider reports Vice President Kamala Harris will rally supporters in Houston, while former President Donald Trump will take part in a podcast in Austin.
Harris will be sharing the stage with Beyonce and Willie Nelson. She'll also be joined by Democratic Dallas Congressman Colin Allred, who is locked in a tight race challenging Republican Senator Ted Cruz. Harris is expected to focus her remarks on abortion and reproductive rights. Following the Supreme Court's overturning of Roe v. Wade, several states enacted abortion bans. Texas enacted one of the strictest in the nation, with no exceptions for rape or incest. Harris casts blame on Trump for the bans. Trump says that abortion legislation should be left to the states. Meanwhile, the former president is in Austin. He's recording an appearance on the popular podcast hosted by Joe Rogan. For NPR News, I'm Andrew Schneider in Houston.
The defense minister of the Netherlands has become the latest world leader to announced that his intelligence services confirmed the presence of North Korean troops in Russia. Terry Schultz reports NATO allies will discuss a response on Monday.
The deputy chief of South Korea's intelligence service and other officials will brief NATO on their assessments that Pyongyang has sent thousands of troops to help Russia fight Ukraine. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin says the U.S. believes some 3,000 North Korean soldiers are already in Russia. Dutch Defense Minister Ruben Brekelmans cites a lower number of personnel, but says he expects the troops will be mainly deployed in Kursk, the Russian region where Ukraine seized territory in August. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky says he expects some of these troops to arrive at the front line in Kursk this weekend and suggests as many as 12,000 North Korean soldiers are in Russia. The Netherlands' Brekelmans says this significant escalation requires an appropriate response. For NPR News, I'm Terry Schultz in Brussels.
New orders for long-lasting manufacturing products fell last month. NPR's Scott Horsley reports on the latest figures from the Commerce Department.
Orders for durable goods fell by 0.8% last month, weighed down by a sharp drop in orders for civilian aircraft. Excluding transportation, durable goods orders were up. McDonald's has identified a California onion supplier as the possible source of an E. coli outbreak linked to the chain's Quarter Pounders. Taylor Farms of Salinas, California has issued an onion recall. Other fast food chains are pulling onions from their menus as a precaution. Crude oil prices are up, but retail gasoline prices continue to fall. AAA says the average price of the pump is now $3.14 a gallon. That's down about a nickel from a week ago and 40 cents lower than this time last year. Scott Horsley, NPR News, Washington.
This is NPR News from Washington.
Support for NPR comes from Progressive Insurance. Progressive is looking for individuals in a variety of career fields who want to help build a culture of inclusiveness. More information, including application, at progressive.com/careers. We're live, we're local. We are Kansas Public Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to KPR's Live Day. I'm Kay McIntyre. We're live at the Lawrence Public Library in downtown Lawrence and glad to have you with us today, whether you're here at the library or listening in on your radio or your smart speaker. This hour, we're very pleased to bring you the Joe Pará Ensemble, bringing us a little taste of Paraguay via Pittsburgh and Green Bend, Kansas.